Sean Patrick Maloney, you're with us today on the Congressional Corner. We thank you so much for showing up and doing it as we always do. My first question is, okay, Sean, what happens if the House flips? We see people like Gerald Nadler, who would be in charge of the Investigations Committee and other things. Well, would you expect there be a different approach to oversight with this president if the House goes Democratic?
Yes, absolutely. You're going to see real oversight on a lot of things that need oversight, like what is going on with family separation at the border? What is happening with, things like the Intel Committee investigation of Russia influence in our election? Those are areas where Congress should properly and immediately provide independent oversight of this administration. That's a good thing. You're also going to see an end to Republican-only legislation. That means there's going to be a bipartisan process where at least one or both houses of Congress are going to have to work with the president on things like immigration and on infrastructure. I think that's going to produce much better results than a lot of this fantasy stuff that we've seen coming out of the House. You're not going to have any more of these tax cuts that are going to screw New York on everything from our property deductions to the way we pay for health care to our infrastructure projects. So it's going to be good for New York. It's going to be good for those who care about accountability in government, and hopefully we'll get some stuff done through bipartisan compromise, because we're probably still working with a Republican president for the time being.
You know, one of the things we keep hearing is that the I word is forbidden for people who are running for Congress on the Democratic side. In other words, impeachment. That it would somehow bring out the Republicans. It would be a negative force in the election. I wonder whether you could speak to that.
Look, the number one thing is to let Bob Mueller finish his investigation. The guy's got great results, and we should let him do his work. I'm not afraid of the word impeachment if it's justified by a showing of high crimes and misdemeanors from the special counsel. But to just, pop off, half-cocked or in advance of that, I think is unwarranted, when what we should do is get the facts and then find out what is justified. I can tell you there are a long list of things this president has done that I find offensive and deeply troubling, but almost all of them fall into the category of, vote them out at the next election. I do think when we stray into the area of illegal conduct, obstruction of justice, conspiring against the United States, with the Russians who have already been indicted, those are the things we're waiting to find out. We should keep our powder dry, follow the facts and the law. I trust Bob Mueller. Let's do it that way.
What if Mueller is basically ousted, which is something that I think a lot of us have been worried about for quite a while? Sessions goes, Rosenstein goes. What happens? Does that mean that what Mueller has been working on all gets thrown out the window?
No, I think we're probably past that point. I mean, I think you already have an extraordinary body of work in terms of dozens of indictments of Russians and individuals and of entities. We've had the broad outlines of both the social media illegal activity and the hacking illegal activity documented in great detail. You've got a bunch of people who've pled guilty who are facing serious criminal charges, both in the Russian investigation and then in the president's orbit, people like Michael Cohen. I think we are way past the point where any of that's going to get fully undone. We have people like Paul Manafort who are cooperating right now with Bob Mueller. So we need to make sure he has the independence and to finish the work. But we are getting past the point of no return on this thing, and I think that's great. I think it is something we need to watch like a hawk. We need to protect Mueller. We need to protect Rosenstein. But I do believe we are going to get to the end of this course and find out the facts.
So then what happens if Mueller doesn't survive is the question, and you say we have to find ways to protect him. What are those ways? I mean, you've got more Republicans than Democrats right now, and we know there's no appetite because of the support that the Republicans are giving to the president. I mean, what can we expect you can do to help him, to help protect Mueller?
Well, first and foremost, he needs to be allowed to finish his work, and that is happening right now, as far as we can tell, in an unfettered way. So this is a hypothetical, but there are a number of important backstops to that, including the development of companion state charges where they are appropriate. That's why the New York Attorney General's office is so important. There are other backstops like congressional oversight and congressional investigations, which modified if it was necessary. And that is one thing you will absolutely get more of with some independence in the Congress and Democratic control.
Right.
So I think that where we are is on the cusp of having Mueller finish his work, and we have important and available backstops to that if he's interfered with. But we all have to, this is all hands on deck. The number one thing that folks listening can do, though, if they care about this stuff, is to vote in the elections in November and send people to Washington who are going to hold people accountable.
So an ally of your opponent is suing you or saying that you shouldn't be allowed to use money raised for one of your races with the other. You ran for attorney general and for Congress. How do you answer that guy?
Right. It's a stupid and political-based lawsuit that's going nowhere, so that's how I answer it. But
it's a good answer.
It's a good answer. Well, I mean, I don't know how much time you want to take up with something that's stupid and that's political. I mean, look, you know, we are absolutely meticulous in the way we conduct our elections. I think my record speaks for itself on that. I don't need a lecture from an opponent who's got, a laundry list of FEC violations already. We're going to do our work the right way, by the book. And you see charges like this in election year, but they're just stupid.
Okay, that's a good answer. Talk to me about the Farm Bill. You and I have talked about that over the years, and we only have a couple of minutes on it, but it doesn't seem to be getting done. What's going on?
What's going on is you got a Republican chairman with a bunch of dumb ideas about creating a big new bureaucracy and wasting a bunch of money trying to punish poor people. You've got, interestingly, the Republican leadership in the Senate who disagrees with the House Republican chairman. That tells you how out of step he is. And you've got a ranking member in the Senate and in the House who want to get something done this year, like most of us do. A bunch of us have worked in a bipartisan way to get a good farm bill for years now. We did it in 2014. But the bottom line is that we can get this done if we hunker down. But the House Republican position, which is an extreme position, is going to have to get dropped, and that's what should happen.
And what's so extreme?
It'll either happen this year, or it'll happen in the new Congress. We can do a short-term extension of the existing law. That wouldn't be the end of the world if it means getting a better bill next year.
Okay, Sean, just because many of us don't get it, what is the extreme position of the Republicans here? Does it have to do with feeding kids? What is it that's so extreme?
Yeah, the Washington Republicans, particularly in the House, are obsessed with coming after people who rely on SNAP, what we used to call food stamps.
Sure.
And what they're doing is engaging in a cynical game to say we ought to have work requirements, which of course ignores the fact that we already do, and we have had work requirements for more than 20 years in the food stamp program. It is the governors who request certain waivers under certain conditions. It is the Trump administration that has been granting those waivers for the last year and a half. And this is all a ploy to kick more people off food stamps by erecting all types of barriers and new bureaucracy that is unnecessary. By the way, the number of people on food stamps and the money we've been spending on it has been coming way, way down under this farm bill. This farm bill saved almost $100 billion, with a B, off of what it was projected to spend just 4 years ago. There's no reason for this. It's an effort to scapegoat poor people, and a bunch of us won't support it, including, by the way, the Republican Senate chairman. This is purely one of these extreme House Republican efforts to go after poor people, and it's holding the whole thing up. We should drop it and get the bill done, because a lot of people really depend on it for things like invasive species research, so we can stop the allium leaf miner, which is threatening our local crops like onions here in the Hudson Valley, so we can help our dairy farmers who need it in your part of the world, so we can get our beginning farmers the training and financing and debt forgiveness and access to the land that they need. That's something I've been working hard on. There's a lot of important things in the Farm Bill, and it's a big part of our economy here. And it's just one more reason, if you ask me, we need to have some new management in the House of Representatives and give us Democrats a chance to chair these committees. And I'll tell you what, we'll get a good bill done for the Hudson Valley.
It's great to talk to our friend Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District. Thank you so much, Sean. When we come back the next time, let's talk about a little bit more about congressional politics.